Hi, and welcome to another edition of Iron Sharpeneth Iron. I'm your host, Brother Brandon Teague, and for the next little bit, we're going to be talking to two good friends of mine, been on the show for the last 2 weeks, and I'm going to just go ahead and introduce them real quick. And right here to my immediate right is my good friend, Jason Cooley, pastor of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. And he came a long way to be with us today. And we're thankful for him being with us. And Pastor Jason has extensive ministry. We've introduced him before on the show, but he has extensive ministry. Reaches out through electronic media, through Facebook, through all different types of things. And there's his website at the bottom of the screen. We invite you to log on and check out all that his ministry provides. And he is ministering to other churches, trying to help them with a very important issue that we're going to be talking about today here on the program on Iron Sharpeneth Iron. And to my left is my good friend, Brother Gerald Finney, and I'm glad you're here, brother. And Brother Finney is a very important person to me because Brother Finney helped me deal with some matters in our own church. And Brother Finney is a Christian attorney. And he's my attorney. I'm very thankful. He has been a help to me. He's been a help to Faith Baptist Church. And I want to tell you, if there's a pastor out here watching this, who's going to be affected by this program today, you can get in touch with Brother Finney, and he can perhaps help you as well. Their ministry, these two brothers right here, their ministry is helping New Testament churches to get out of an entanglement that God never intended for His church to have. And in the last show, oh, by the way, before I get into that, let me say to you, Brother Finney has written several books, and one of them is Render Unto God the Things That Are God's, and it's a study of Romans 13, which we touched upon this subject in the last show. The next one, let me have that one, Brother Finney. The next one is Separation of Church and State, which is everybody ought to know this information.
Amen.
I mean, this is a powerful book because the title of it is Separation of Church and State, but the subtitle is God's Churches, and they are God's churches. Pastor, it's not your church; it's God's church.
That's right.
It's God's church, and is God's church a spiritual entity or is it a legal entity? That all depends on what you have done with it or what others in the past have done with it. And that leads me to the granddaddy of all these books, and that is God Betrayed. God Betrayed, I'm telling you, is an exhaustive, it's 400 and well over 400 pages of information, important information regarding the separation of church and state, First Amendment, all kinds of issues that the churches deal with. And most importantly, the one we're going to talk about today, which is a 501c3 incorporation status and whether or not a church ought to be yoked up with the state government. And we're going to talk about that today. And I'm thankful that people say you can't borrow looks, but you can borrow brains. And I've definitely borrowed some brains today. And I'm thankful for both these men and their love, first of all, for their love for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I know their character. Their character is impeccable, and they're warriors for truth. And it's my privilege and my honor to be here and sit here between these two men as they talk about one of the most important subjects that you can ever discuss when it comes to church matters. And in the last show, we discussed Romans chapter 13 on whether or not Christians should submit always to civil government. And one thing we discovered is that Romans 13 is simply saying that we're to do right. We're to always do right. And we're to honor the Lord always and always obey a civil government that obeys God. But when that government gets out of the realm of God's law, then we are to obey God. And the question comes down is this. Today in the world that we live in, the majority of churches, I'm saying the majority, the very vast majority of churches today are no longer New Testament churches. They have become creatures of the state. They are now businesses or government entities. And when a church becomes a government entity, then that church ceases to have Christ as its head. And so I want to ask you, Brother Finney, and I know there are many people that go to churches, many people that attend church, that are members of churches, and they really don't understand these issues that we're going to talk about what does it mean to be 501c3? That's tax language, and most people say, man, I don't understand that stuff. I don't even understand that our church is incorporated. I don't even know what that means. And folks, I don't want us to talk over anybody's head today. I want us to present to you an honest and fair assessment of this issue so that you can then go to God with it and talk to the Lord and see how, and with the knowledge you'll be armed with, then you can go to God with it and find out where you stand. So, Brother Finney, if you would you please give us a fair definition of what a 501c3 actually is?
Yes. And let me say, this is a vast study. This is a vast study. I cover it all in God Betrayed. For those who are already familiar, Separation of Church and State, this booklet, pastors might be able to go right to this. It's a lot shorter, a lot easier to understand. I'm going to try to my best to distill it down for you as best I can and give you some important things about it today. Now listen, I'm not trying to make money. All of these resources are available free on my website. That's not to say that you can get the book free, but all the material is on there and it's organized, and you can access it right there free. So I'm not trying to get your money, okay? Now, corporate 501c3 status for a church makes a church a legal entity. A church that's incorporated gets 501c3 status, makes a church a legal entity. What is a legal entity? What is a legal entity? A legal entity is an entity that can sue and be sued, be charged with a crime. And I'm a legal entity. There's no way around it. If you're in America, you're a citizen of America, you are a legal entity. A corporation is an artificial person created by the laws of the state. Now, that's what they define it as being. An artificial person created by the laws of the state. There are parties to the corporate status. The entity that's incorporating and the state, for example. The corporation and the state. If it's a church, it's the incorporated church and the state. Okay? That's the parties. Who is the controlling party? The state. God is not included. Some attorneys will lie to you, and they lie constantly, and they're making a lot of money helping churches and telling churches you got to get incorporated. It will help you with legal, it will limit your liability. You've got to have it to hold property. It's just a way to hold property. You need it for tax reasons. All various reasons, various rationale they will give you for incorporating a church. First of all, let me say this. Some people will discount it immediately. That guy doesn't know what he's talking about, but I can prove it to you. If you get incorporated as a church, the members have less protection than in a church that is not incorporated, not a legal entity of any kind. That's a broad, conclusory statement. I do not have time today to explain to you why that's true. I explain that on my website. I explain that in my books. All the reasons that are given are lies. They're false. They're false. They're not true. But it takes a lot of study to know these things, and you don't have time to do that study. But the main thing is this. You create a two-headed monster when you incorporate a church.
That's right.
You are having to operate under the laws of the state of incorporation.
Right.
When you have a conflict for a lot of matters involving the church, you go to the state. And they will tell you, do not bring out your Bible, and so forth. I could go on, and I try to cover all the bases for you, in, for example, on my website. So you'll understand these matters, but in order to understand them, you're going to have to do a lot of study. Now, there are several contracts created when a church incorporates, and I'm just going to say that to you. Contract means agreement between two equal parties, but really the state is the superior party in this contract because they are the ones you go to, and you have to do things according to the rules of incorporation for the state which you live in.
And Brother Finney, that makes if the in this contract the two parties, if the state is the head of the two parties, then that makes the state the head over the church. And we know from Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says that Christ is the head of the church.
Amen. Yes, now there are many contracts created, and you may not, I don't have time to explain all that, but yes. And so you go to, now there are some things they will not get involved with. There are some what they call ecclesiastical matters that they will not get involved with. But many, many matters, when there is conflict, can be taken to the state courts, for example, to be resolved. And the state makes their judgments, and you don't use biblical principles. Now, people say, well, it's not the church, it's not the spiritual. It affects the spiritual part of the church.
Amen.
You mentioned Ephesians chapter 5. There you have the marriage of Christ and his church, and the marriage of a man and woman mm-hmm. discussed. Now, what if, and so there, the Bible is talking about Christ and his church, the two marriages, Christ and his church, and the marriage of the man and woman. Now, what if, ladies, what if your, or husbands, what if your wife came home to you and said, and she's got her arms around another man, and he's got her arm around her, and she says, sweetheart, I've known Joe for a while now. We've been having lunch together, and I just want you to know that he is a great person. He can do a lot of things for us that you can't do. In fact, he's got some rules that are not like your rules. They're better. They're going to help us. He's going to help us out financially. Now, we're not having any kind of a intimate relationship. We just have lunch together. He gives me advice. He talks to me, and I'm amazed at his wisdom. And so I'm going to continue this relationship. I'm sure that will be okay with you, sweetheart. What would you think, husbands? Well, that analogy is very applicable mm-hmm. to what we're talking yeah. about. Now, we could go on and on about that. Do you think we ought to go a little bit into 501c3?
Well, I mean, that's up to you, Brother Jason. I mean, that's up to you, Brother Jason.
Let me get into that a little, and then I'll turn it over
okay,
to Pastor Jason.
Okay.
Just a little bit. Now, I'm not going to go in any depth. Okay, what is 501c3? What is it? Most people don't even know what it is.
It's an IRS classification.
It's a law.
Okay.
This law applies to organizations like Wiccans, Planned Parenthood, all kinds of wicked organizations, as well as churches. Now,
wow.
It is a law respecting an establishment of religion and preventing the free exercise thereof. What does the First Amendment to the United States Constitution say in the first clause? Many of you may not know that. The First Amendment Religion Clause says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion and preventing the free exercise thereof. So 501c3, as applied to churches, violates the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. Of course, for that to be effective, either the government, the federal government, or churches would have to somehow protest that law. Now, churches, all they have to do is not accept or apply for and receive the 501c3 status.
Is it a mandatory law?
No. Very excellent question. Section 508 of that same code, 26 United States Code, section 508, and you can read this. If you want to go online, just put in, you can put in Internal Revenue Service Code or 26 United States Code, section 508. You can read it right there for yourself. Churches are an exception to the requirements for organizations such as religious organizations and charitable organizations and so forth to get the 501c3 status. In other words, churches are automatically tax exempt without getting that status. So why do they do it? I explain that in my books. They know what they're doing. The IRS code makes that perfectly clear, that they know what they are doing, that they know the First Amendment and so forth. In fact, Section 508 is a reflection of the First Amendment. But churches, they go do it for perceived benefits. The Lord is not enough for these churches. They want what they think they can get from civil government. But actually, as I point out in a chapter here, law professors, for example, Professor Richard Garnett at Notre Dame University and others, know that this is a definition control scheme meant to control the churches. And it has worked, and it has worked. It is meant to redefine the church. It is meant to keep the church within the four walls and not go out and do its job. I have many personal experiences from people out of churches that I've talked to that believe that. They've been trained by their churches. Their churches were trained by the Internal Revenue Service, by the federal government, through this 501c3 definition control scheme. Now, I'm not going to go into all the rules. It comes with rules. Some churches say, well, they're not enforcing the rules. It doesn't matter. Philosophically, or whatever you want to call it, they are dishonoring their Lord by submitting themselves, saying they're agreeing to these rules that come along with 501c3. And there will come a time when the government will enforce. The government's already going into the churches. They thought that if they succumb to these schemes, well, they won't bother the churches, they won't go inside, but they are going inside, and it's going to be a lot it's going to be a lot worse. I just want to mention a couple of the rules. There are five stated rules. One of those, number four, the organization may not intervene in political activity. The organization, number five, the organization's purposes and activities may not be illegal or violate fundamental public policy. Now, as far as being illegal, a church or members of any church can't do anything illegal that's criminal, for example, and get away with it. Well, they may get away with it, but if they're caught, they'll be prosecuted. Also, that applies to certain civil matters and so forth. But the one about fundamental public policy. I mentioned to you that 501c3 is a law. That had to be written by the Congress. Both houses had to approve it, sent to the president, had to be signed into law. For those rules, that's true. But the fifth rule, may not violate fundamental public policy, was added by the Internal Revenue Code, the Internal Revenue Service itself.
It's a gray area.
Yeah, they started enforcing this. It was challenged, and it was taken to the courts. The courts took the side in a completely illogical opinion, took the side of the IRS and approved the rule. So we see that rules can be added by, more rules can be added by the legislative process and by the IRS, and then you can challenge it, but you have to go to the court to make the challenge. And we saw what the Supreme Court did with that fifth rule that we talked about. So there's a lot to this, but I hope that'll give you just a basic understanding of what we're looking at here. There's much, much more involved to totally explain it all legally and so forth.
Right.
But I think we don't have near that time. I would like to pass the torch to Pastor Jason Cooley, who pastors a church, Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota, so that he can give you a pastor's look at these laws.
Well, amen. Brother Brandon, I know you've been looking at some scripture over here, and why don't you get started with that, because I'm going to segue from that scripture into this.
Well, what you were saying, Brother Finney, what you were saying about the 501c applying to Wicca, a Wiccan church, which is nothing more than a witch coven.
That's right.
And I'm sure, I don't know for sure, I don't have the facts in front of me, but I feel like the Church of Satan in San Francisco is probably also a 501c3. I'm sure the Church of Scientology probably falls under that same heading. And, you know, the Bible clearly states, I mean, you talk about philosophically, but spiritually, 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Just simply being yoked together with state government yokes you together with unbelievers, because we're not to believe for one second that every member of legislature is believers. I mean, for crying out loud, we don't even know if everybody in our church is a believer. But I mean, but for crying out loud, we don't want to just accept blindly that the state government are all believers, which we know they're not.
Right.
And we certainly do not want to start perpetrating the idea that we agree that being yoked together with Wiccan groups and Planned Parenthood, that we're honoring God in any way. And honestly, I don't think that churches that have gone through this legal process were told the truth going in, and they simply haven't thought about it in that context. So, brother,
before we go to Pastor Jason, this brings a thought to my mind that I think is important to let the viewers know. The IRS has 14 criteria that they look at to determine whether a religious organization will receive the 501c3 tax-exempt status. Now, there are other things. They say they're not exclusive. And one of the big Christian law firms in America will respond to you, or have in the past, to pastors I know, when asked what is a church, by giving you the 14 IRS criteria. That's where they looked, and it's the Christian Law Association. Mm-hmm. That is where they looked to get their definition. They did not look to the Bible.
Right.
Their law, their highest law, is American law.
Mm-hmm.
The United States Constitution.
Which is a misapplication of Romans chapter 13.
To find out what a church is, we should look to the Word of God.
Right.
Amen.
And it is also a turnabout face from what our Baptist forefathers taught. And these people, most of them in the Christian Law Association, claim to be Baptist. It's a turning from what I know, the leadership of it. It's a turning from not only from Baptist principles, it's also turning from the Word of God itself.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And yet, churches go to these people and they tell them, hey, you need to be incorporated. You need to get your 501c3. David Gibbs of the Christian Law Association started out years ago preaching the truth about these matters.
Mm-hmm.
But he switched in the 80s. He has a lot of power. He's working with the state. He thinks he can go hobnob with senators and presidents and their administrations and so forth. And that's what he's been doing. And when he does that, he compromises. He compromises on biblical principle. That's one of the reasons we're where we're at today
right.
as a nation and as churches. Brother Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
But do we want to go to Pastor Jason now?
Well, I mean, we've got a few minutes here before the break.
I've just got a few Bible verses. And
yeah,
I
why don't you read those, and then we'll go take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll let you take the second half of the show.
Well, amen, brother. This is all great information. You know, it's wonderful to have the truth, amen?
Amen.
It's a blessing. Listen, the Bible's very clear here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul is coming down on the Corinthians for something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting because the separate contracts that are made with 501c3, the disputes that are handled by the government, everything, are a clear violation of Scripture.
Absolutely.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If ye then have judgments pertaining on things that pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Paul is saying, you know, the least esteemed in your church is a better judge than the world is of godly matters. That's how God formed the local church. It was to judge itself. If you don't judge, Christ said he'll judge, amen?
Right.
And we're judged by another. But he explains this. He explains this teaching here, and he says, for you are bought with a price, amen?
Amen.
You are bought with a price, therefore glorify God. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ, and that these that you ought not be judged by the world. You know, you ought to be judged by God. I speak this to your shame. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to the law with brother that before the unbelievers? There is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? He's saying here, you are going to the law. You are going to government to handle mm-hmm. church matters.
Right.
These two are separated. They
Amen.
Are not to be listen, we are not God. Whatever the state says about God matters not. It's what God says in his word that Christians should follow concerning God and his church.
And yes. We've just described in the last two shows that we've done that our government today is getting less and less more trustworthy. They are becoming
That's right.
more and more dictator-like. And why in the world would churches want to trust something so precious as the Lord's church to this type of government? We're going to have to take a break. We're out of time for this segment. We'll be right back here in a minute with Brother Cooley and Brother Finney on Iron Sharpeneth Iron.
Amen.
Singer, and I'm a singer too.
David
song, and I want to sing along. David was a singer, and I am a singer too. Baptist, and I am a Baptist too. John was a Baptist, and I am a Baptist too. Teach me, oh Lord, to preach like John, and to baptize one by one. John was a Baptist, and I am a Baptist too.
Hi, and welcome back to Iron Sharpeneth Iron, Brother Brandon Teague, Brother Jason Cooley, Brother Gerald Finney. And we are here today talking about this issue of 501c3 incorporation, churches becoming creatures, legal entities, creatures of the state, and in doing so, removing Christ as the head of their church and placing state government in his rightful place. In doing so, taking their place as his church and becoming a state legal entity that had no business of ever being like that. And in doing so, yoking themselves up with all manner of wickedness and agreeing with all manner of wickedness. And I know a lot of people out there watching this, it may be hurting your ears, it may be hurting your spirit to know that you're a member of a group of believers who felt all along like you were doing the right thing, but without knowledge, maybe have done something that you now are shocked that you've done, but maybe you're in disbelief. But here's what I want to do, and I'm a pastor, and I've been a pastor in this town for the last 12 years. Our church got out from under the 501c3 incorporation, and to my right, my brother Jason Cooley, his church, he started in Northville, Minnesota. He had to make a decision on this issue of 501c3, and I want him to tell you, and pastor, if you're watching this program, deacon, if you're watching this program, church member, layperson, whatever you want to call yourself, if you're watching this program, I want you to listen to the heart of this pastor when he dealt with this issue. Brother Jason.
Amen, brother. Well, listen, when this issue came up for us, we had been sent out from a local New Testament church. And when we were sent out, we were kind of under their wing for a while. And then came the decision and the independence that comes with that to separate and become our own, you know, a separated body and everything like that. And I was handed by that sending pastor, I was handed a packet. And I was said, well, he looked at me and he said, well, now you're going to be the president of a corporation. I bet you didn't know you'd be a president. Mm. And I sat there and I was a little stunned by that. And, you know, it bothered me a little bit as I sat there in that meeting with him and he talked about that. And I brought up a question because I had heard some things about it. And I said, you know, it doesn't sound right. Are you sure this is right? Are you sure this is what should be done? Oh, yeah, I think it's the other pastor that was sitting there that was, his church was being separated too as well into its own body. And he said, well, you know, I think it's a great idea and everything. I think it's great. And I said, And they said, well, contact CLA and here's your paperwork and they'll set you up and they'll get you everything. Well, here's your packet, and they'll walk you through your packet and everything like that. Well, they handed me a packet, and I took it home, and I started reading it. Now, I think that's a novel idea because I understand that most people don't read it.
No.
They just sign it and say, sign here, sign here, sign here, and
like
be done
Congress.
With it.
Like Congress passing
them. Like Congress with the health care law. They just signed it and said, we'll figure out what's in it later. And I believe many pastors are like congressmen,
right.
And they've done that. But like Ron Paul said recently, they asked him, well, why do you always say no to these bills? And he said, because I read them, that's why. Mm. And that's the same thing. Why did you say no to the 501c3? Well, one reason is I started to read it. Mm-hmm. I started to read what it said about the 501c3 and what I was supposed to do. And it said, you agree not to preach against public policy. And I said, well, stop right there. I said, I got a problem with that. I got a problem with somebody other than the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word guiding me and telling me what I'm going to preach.
Mm-hmm.
And then some men would say, well, I would just lie and preach it anyway. And I said, well, stop right there. I got another problem with that. Because then I'm knowingly signing something I'm not going to fulfill and I'm being a liar.
That's right.
And that's not right in God's eyes either. I would trust the man more that would say I'll follow it than I would the man that says I'll sign it, but I
Absolutely.
Won't follow it because I'm knowingly lying. So I was mm-hmm. conflicted about that. I had contacted Brother Gerald Finney, and through the process of time, I had read some other materials that weren't part of his materials, but some that agreed with not being a 501c3, read that, and the Lord seemed to surround me, mm-hmm. and a Baptist history tour came up. And I was thinking about all these things, and I said, you know, I'm going to have to come back and face this sending pastor and tell him, you know, I don't want to do this, and I don't want to be a 501c3. Somebody asked me a question. Actually, Evangelist Ted Alexander asked me a question. He said, you ain't going to be, and this is, if you know Brother Ted, you have to know him. He said, you ain't going to be a stinking creature of the state, are you? And man, I just stopped in my tracks like this, and I was like, whoa. I mean, that's heavy, mm-hmm. you know? I thought about it for a little while, and I said, well, I don't know. And he said, you know, he called me up, and the Baptist History Tour was coming up, and he said, I'm sorry, brother, there's nothing open for you this year, but maybe next year. I said, okay. Well, then the last minute he called me and said, brother, I have a seat available on this tour, and I really think you should go. And I prayed about it, and I said, I don't know. And the Lord said, nope, go. I'll make a way for you to go. And God made the way for me to go, and I went on this tour. And oh, I was conflicted because this was a tour of visiting the 45 imprisoned Baptist preachers mm-hmm. that were imprisoned for not taking a license to preach, not accepting the standing order,
wow.
not baptizing, not doing all these. As I walked these, Brother Finney, as I walked down these roads that they walked, and I seen these stones of remembrance that were set up for mm-hmm. them, like we talked about a few episodes ago. We talked about those stones of remembrance, and I looked at those stones of remembrance. And I went from site to site and the jails that they were in and everything that they had gone through. And I thought to myself, well, these men are suffering. They suffered. They sat in jail. All I got to do is go back and stand on the Word of God by the grace of God, look at that sending pastor and say, I'm not going to take that 501c3. And I begin to be convicted. And oh, it was a miserable 2 days. It's very miserable. When the Lord is dealing with you and you don't want to listen and God is, it can be miserable. And it can be downright, just torturous inside of you as the Lord is convicting mm-hmm. you. And I'd go from place to place and I'd see these men and I'd weep at their gravesides when we went to their graveside. And I seen how they were beaten. I heard the story that I told earlier about John Weatherford and how mm-hmm. he was beaten for the faith. And these men that were thrown into jail for the faith. And these Baptist preachers that would be preaching to to Indians and being missionaries out there to the Indians and preaching the gospel. And they'd be slaughtered and killed mm-hmm. by Indian raids and everything. And I thought about John Leland. And I stood at the Leland Madison Memorial. And I seen this man that fought for religious liberty. I seen these men that were in jail, jailed for their faith, and the Lord just broke me. I said, how in the world can I stand with all the liberty that these men fought for and not make the right decision
Amen.
And not become a creature of the state and not do what's right? How could I do that? Mm. And I went back, and the Lord began to smote my heart, and I preached a sermon called, Do We Really Believe in the All-Sufficiency of Scripture?
Mm.
And God used that sermon, and it awoke that body that I was preaching to, our church, and it awoke them up. They awakened to that, and they said, oh my goodness, how could we do this? And then God led me to preach a sermon called Whose House Is It Anyway?
Right.
And that sermon has got a lot of circulation, and God, Brother Finney spent hours and hours on the phone asking questions. I read through his pamphlets and looked over his books and studied some things and seen that what the 501c3 was, and I said, well, I can't sign up and say I'm not going to preach something like that. I would never do that. I would never tip my hat to the government and tell them that I wasn't going to speak against their atrocities and I wasn't going to stand up for what is right. When I see John the Baptist be beheaded for that in the Bible, when I see Jesus Christ standing up and looking at a civil government and saying, you go tell that fox Herod. You go tell him that when I see these men that stood up and they fought the good fight and they finished their course and Paul was beheaded for the faith. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what am I doing? I'm not suffering for anybody. All I've got to do is stand up and tell them what's right and say, listen, I can't do that. Now, as a pastor, that's my testimony of what God was doing with me. But also there were some other things that were coming in that I looked at the paperwork. And it said that, it told me who I could have on my pulpit and who I couldn't have on my pulpit if I signed up for this. It said, well, if you bring in a Democrat, which I'd never do, or you have to bring in a Republican. If you bring in a Republican, you got to bring in this candidate, and you got to have equal time, and you can bar no one from it. And you can't spend your time trying to get righteousness legislated, basically, is what they were saying. They were telling me that I couldn't do that and what I could do, and I was like, well, Congress, how can I agree to that when I see what the Constitution says? It says Congress shall make no law. And then I see 501C that says 3C that says special laws have been acted, as if enacted. Special laws have been enacted for you. And it's such a flattering statement when you see it in the IRS's paperwork there in 501C3. Oh, we just love the churches so much, and we've just enacted special tax laws for them because we love them so much. And that's the design. That's the way that it's given. Oh, we just love them so much, and we've got this special tax law. Well, right there I see a problem there with that, because it says Congress shall make no law, and then special tax law. I thought, wait a minute now. There's something wrong with this. And then when I start reading then I looked at Brother Finney's book, one of the most influential books that everyone should read here, is God's Church's Spiritual or Legal Entities. This book right here, every pastor in America, every Baptist in America, and every Baptist pastor should own this book.
Amen.
And I started reading and looking into this, and it started telling me of things of what a corporation was, that it was a creature of the state, and that it derived its powers from the state, in essence, really, that it could be perpetuated, that the state was the state was the sovereign of the corporation, and the state could tell the church how long it could live, or it could perpetuate it, or it could make rules, and then if you don't follow those rules, you could be in trouble, and you could lose that status, and you could. So, in other words, it was a control and conquer scheme, is what it was. It was an education and conquer scheme that came about. And I started reading further about the corporation and the sovereignty. And I said, well, Jesus Christ is sovereign in the church, that He might receive glory in the church throughout all ages, a world without end. Amen. That Christ might receive glory. I said, how can I hand the glory of God over to the state and say, no, you will be my head. I will follow what you say. Because, friend, listen, pastors, you can sit and scream from your pulpit all you want to and say, no one tells me what to preach, bless God. You can leave my church if you don't like what's preached. You can leave the church if you don't like what's preached. When you tip your hat to the government and allow them to tell you who you can have on your pulpit, what activities your church will have, how they will do that. Well, listen, folks, this is the devilish scheme. And I started, when I went to the Leland Madison Memorial, I figured out one thing. Now, if Leland would have been a 501c3, we'd never have the First Amendment today.
Yep.
If Leland would have said, okay, I'll bend in, I won't speak against public policy. Folks, Baptists are the one that pushed public policy.
Right.
They are the ones that pushed the law. They're the ones that led in that effort. Orange County was full of Baptists in Leland's time. And without Orange County, you were not getting anything ratified through there. You were not getting the right. John Leland would have been up there if Madison wouldn't have agreed to that. Madison knew that he had no choice. He had to. Now, Madison was a man of his word, which we don't have very many politicians that are today. But Madison was a man of his word.
Isn't this thing just coming full circle?
It comes full circle, brother, from the beginning of the fight for religious liberty all the way through the Romans 13 teaching. Listen, if you have a wrong interpretation of Romans 13, you will have a wrong, you will agree to 501c3 because you will think that is mandatory for the churches. Oh, you must obey that civil government. You must. Now, let me say this. If you sign your name to the dotted line and you agree to do that, then no one tricked you. You decided that on your own. And I say read the paperwork and figure it out. After I started reading that, the Lord was convicting me. I said, I showed our church. I brought our men. I said, well, men, I want you to look at this. You look at this paperwork. What do you think about that? Do you think I should accept that? Do you think this church should accept that? When I find out about how a nonprofit organization works and a 501c3 corporation works and how really the money doesn't, when you're 501c3 and somebody writes their check out to such and such Baptist church, well, that doesn't even glorify God, really, because the money is the Lord's. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't, well, that's our money. This is our building. No, it's the Lord's.
Amen.
We are the Lord is the beneficiary. We are the trusters and the trustee of that, but we are not that. The Lord benefits from that. It's His money. It's His building. We are the Lord's. You're not your own, for you're bought and paid for with a price. When the government has to come in and decide issues of the church, the pastor, it will be out of the pastor's hands to deal with. And then I looked in the Bible and I said, well, listen, now, this sending pastor had told me that, you know, you're the president of a corporation. And I looked and I said, well, I don't see president of any corporation in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And the Bible does not say anything about that. What the Bible does say is that it's a body, and Christ is the head of the church. And it's Christ's church, and we are to follow Him. We are not the head. The state cannot be the head.
Right.
We cannot tip our hats and have the sovereignty of the Lord questioned in His church. We cannot give in to those things. Because when we do, we are compromising. And why? What is the reason for all this? In the end, we know the end game, what it's going to be. The end game is that all the world will wonder after the beast.
Right.
The one world government. And listen, this may sound crazy to some of you, but everything I'm about to say to you is absolutely factual. Right. And I will stand on this, and I have the quotes that can prove this as being true, that these men have said this. But they did say the New World Order schemers and these that want a one-world government, they must take over the ecclesiastical realm, the church realm of America.
It's a big new Brzezinski.
That's right. They must have control.
Cabinet member Jimmy Carter.
That's right. If they have no, that is who said that. If they don't have the control of the ecclesiastical, the churches, then they don't have the people. But once all worship is geared towards the one world government and controlled by that, then there's no hope for this nation.
They gave their power unto the beast.
That's right. They gave their power unto the beast. It's all foreshadowings of that. And when I think about these things here with the 501c3 and the church being incorporated and the government enticement that comes with that, with the tax write-offs and everything that they tried to push and entice them for, there's some other things that go along with that that really do conflict. And I do have a problem with when I started reading some of these quotes from Brother Finney's book alone here that was quoted, a church that sees fit to become incorporated under state law is obligated to conduct its business activities in compliance therewith, including governmental regulation of its employment relationships, so long as the employment does not depend on doctrinal matters. Religious corporations are governed by the same rules of law and equity as other corporations. So making the church the same as Planned Parenthood.
So in other words, the government at some point may come into these 501c3 churches and say, you know, you've got all these employees, but you don't have any transgendered employees.
There you go.
We're going to have equal rights here. I mean, you have no homosexual employees.
So far, those that hasn't been allowed.
So far.
But it's they're constantly...
There's certainly room.
And we see what's happening. We understand and we see what's happening in our nation.
Right.
I could go on and on about that, but I believe, it's my belief, that it is going to happen.
It's coming. It's coming.
Right, all of these things are coming. All these things are coming down the line with. Well, we've seen now these religious organizations and some of these churches and some of these other things are now being pressured by Obamacare, in certain areas. Now, some of these are 501c3 religious organizations, or they're different types. They may not be churches at this point. But what's to say that that's not going to be enforced?
Right.
What's to say that one day a church isn't going to be forced where they say, well, you need to provide a transgender sex change for your employee there. Your employee said they're going to sue you if you don't. You say, well, that couldn't happen. Folks, I didn't think Obamacare could happen.
Exactly.
I didn't think we'd be having a discussion about seizing weapons from the United States citizens.
Right.
You know, I didn't think that we would see churches actually become under the control of the state the way they have been, and the manipulation that is going on there.
Right.
We didn't think we'd see that either.
Yeah, we're seeing government intrusion in every walk of life. And it's obvious that the IRS has little to no respect for the Lord's church to begin with. And quite frankly, I mean, I expect to see it coming. I expect to see all these things we've just talked about. I expect to see it coming.
Well, let me tell you another issue that going along these lines of the 501c3 that is going to be a very important one coming up here. Especially, there's a lot of churches that are hurting right now for money. These 501c3 churches, and some of these are starting to get pretty bad with their getting close to bankruptcy. We're seeing foreclosures. I've written articles. Brother Feeney and I wrote an article about this, and you can reach that at oldpastbaptistchurch.org. But we wrote an article about this, how the foreclosures of churches and their buildings are being foreclosed on. They're going broke. What's to say that these 501c3 corporations aren't going to be forced to make a deal with the federal government soon because they're going bankrupt and because the skeleton is already there? Yes, it's already in place. The skeleton is. Folks, understand this one thing. This 501c3 legislation, things like this, the IRS codes and everything, these lay dormant for a while. They don't enforce all of this right away. This stuff comes within time, and then it's the skeleton is already in place, and then they add the meat to it, they add the flesh to it, they add things to it as they go, just like the IRS added some code in there that Brother Finney talked about earlier. They will continue to do that. They can, because corporations have to obey the laws of the one that started them.
And of course they say, you know, well, I will until they get to this point. But the Bible tells us, the Bible talks about, you know, men being truce breakers.
Yes.
And men, I mean, what truce? I mean, you're making a truce with the state of Texas. You're making a truce with the state of Minnesota that you're going to obey.
Yes.
And if you break that, I mean, good night. The church is acting worldly.
It certainly is, and that's what's taking place today. You know, there are people out there right now that they're members that they don't even understand the agreement that their pastors and the leadership of their church has made with the state. They have no, if they knew and they understood it, they'd be upset about it.
Right. And I go right back to the verse that I read earlier. You know, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And it's a yoke that churches walk into.
Yep.
That's so sad. Churches look to God and say, you know, I evidently you can't protect me like they can. You can't provide for me like they can. Your benefits are not as good as the state's benefits. And God simply says, he asked the question. He said, I mean, I look at verse 16, I just jump down, and he says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And I want to say to you, pastor, I want to say to you, church member, God's saying to you today, if you've heard this message, come out from among them. You say, I recognize this and I don't want to be a part of this anymore. Come out from among them. You go to the leadership of that church and say to them, look, pastor, deacons, we've heard, you need to listen to this. You need to watch this. You need to hear about this. Listen, we're going to put Brother Finney's address up on the board. And you write, get you a pencil and write it down. and get a and make note of this. Push record on your on your DVR, whatever you have to do. Record this. Make note of it. Push pause on the remote. Write it down. Get in touch with him. Find out if he can help you. He has a phone number on his website. You can get in contact with him. He's glad to give you advice. Pastor Jason Cooley, we'll put his information up on the screen now so you can see it. They're here to help. That's why we did this series of shows, because this is the last days, the last time. We are living at the edge. And my friends, the time is now to take action. Come out from among them. God wants to be, he wants to act as a father, but I can tell you, if you run away from God, he can't be the father to you that he wants to be. And until churches come out from among the world, the power of God will not be there. There will be a form of godliness, but not the power thereof. God says, from such turn away those who have a form of godliness. My friend, let me say to you this today. If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, then you don't have God. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, if you've not come to him a sinner, knowing that you need to be forgiven of your sins, if you've not believed and trusted him and his shed blood to be the payment for your sins, then my friend, there's no hope for you beyond this world. But if you know Christ as your personal Savior, honor him, love him, serve him, and give your all to him. Let me say to you today, it's been my honor and privilege to come to you all these times. And you can continue to watch us at www.theoldtimeway.com. And we want you to keep checking out the website for new shows. But it's been my joy to come to you on this program, Iron Sharpeneth Iron. And for the last time, let me say, let God be true and every man a liar. For Brother Gerald Finney, Brother Jason Cooley, I'm Pastor Brandon Teague. God bless you, and we'll see you later.